beauty of the cloud is that it makes transitioning or migrating or moving into the cloud very easy. It's an easy process initially to onboard. You can get your stuff in there, move your workloads, do either a lift and shift or some form of transition modernization in there. But where it becomes challenging is it takes focus to keep it maintained, right? It's easy to deploy into Azure, but is it deployed right? Are the fundamentals in place to make sure that when you get further down the line that you've ticked the boxes around your compliance and your security? Are your costs being managed? Those are the key points that require more attention than I think is sometimes realized. And you know, it's not a difficult problem to solve. It just requires the right skill set and focus. And that's where, if I look at the cloud operations team at Umbrella, you know, delivering the product is one thing, but it's the ongoing hygiene, the watering and feeding, you know, service improvements, everything else that comes off the back of it. And that's where utilizing the cloud and utilizing it smartly then becomes beneficial, and you actually get what you signed up for in the end. And those are the things around the ongoing compliance. Microsoft would constantly evolve and improve, bring in new services, but also bring in new ways to secure the environment, to make it cost effective, to optimize. And it's that ongoing watering and feeding is one of the key focuses for our team. And from my perspective, it's always been a case of looking at it from the perspective that this is what we do, right? And by doing this, we enable our customers and partners to do what they do best.
I was just going to add to that it's actually worth just going back a step in terms of where customers were prior to being in cloud, because it kind of defines the future for them in regards to customers that had an on-premises presence, or they were in a data center somewhere in the country or around the globe. They paid for the equipment. They paid for the licensing. Everything was a CapEx purchase outright. So other than electricity, you bought the entire product. So whether you run it or you don't run it, that was the cost. And so you'd have other virtualization layers other than Microsoft and Hyper-V that would effectively have a ton of systems running on it, but you paid for the system, so didn't matter if it ran or not. So you might have development environments, you might have sandbox environments, you might have pre-prod all running all the time because it didn't matter.
One of the key points, and from a value proposition where I feel that Umbrella brings that benefit, is where it does, as we said, there's a lot of levers to pull. It's a very different beast to control because you're not just putting out a capital expenditure for 12 months and you roll it. It's granular. You know, it could change by the hour. And keeping the focus on that does take a lot of time. And it then becomes the decision point of, does the person in charge, so the CIO, does he have the capacity, ability to do it, or does he need a trusted partner that can actually do that for him? Focus, you know, back to my discussion earlier, focus on what you do best, and we'll focus on what we do best, which is to support and empower you to go forward.
You were saying, Rob, one of our team came up with an analogy around it's like an insurance policy.
Yeah, I mean, you have insurance for your car, you have insurance for your house, and managed services for cloud computing is effectively an insurance policy, but it's an insurance policy plus because it's an active hands-on process. It's not something that you hope to use one day. This is day in, day out, touch base observation, alerting, escalation, control, recommendations, security overlay, which may have an exploit that needs immediate attention.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these pain points are being taken away from customers because Umbrella is taking that responsibility for them.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't take them away from the service. We give them the vision and the approaches that are going to allow them to use cloud well.
Mm-hmm.
A managed service traditionally would be something's broken, we fix it. You know, make sure the lights are on. There's always somebody at the end of the phone. But as we've been talking about cost optimization, there's so much more that fits into a managed service now, where it's not just a team of technical people making sure that systems are operating optimally, but it's also all of those ancillary bits, making sure that the costs are well maintained. You're making sure that the future growth fits into what the requirements are from the customer, from a technical perspective, from a budgetary perspective, to ensure that, you know, growth does not exceed the means of the business.
Partners are crying out to us that, you know, we want to provide these services to customers, but we don't do networking, we don't do platform. This construct is effectively giving them the roadway to get into customers.
Mm. Yeah, I like being in a position where you'll ask me, where does this end? And it doesn't. There's no limit to what we can't do. You know, and that it's starting to sound like a big sales pitch for signing up to, you know, timeshare, but it really is. You know, it's like the Amway of IT almost. It's really just there is no ceiling to what we can or can't achieve with what we've started developing in house, and that excites me. You know, how far do we want to go? As far as we want.
You 2 years ago, you could never have said that we could work off a smartphone, you know, and that doesn't even seem that long ago. What excites you over the next coming up?
Well, it's already here actually, and it's the actual change of computer gaming, and so there are groups like Nvidia that have brought out a service called GeForce Now. There's Microsoft have now got a cloud gaming subscription service. You've got Google Stadia that has made a play, and there are others in the world. And what they're doing is they're abstracting the service from being a set-top box on a PlayStation or a PC, as suddenly anyone in the world could play. They don't have to buy an expensive personal rig to play the new most exciting games. You pay for a service, you connect to it, and you can play it on your iPads. You can play it on your work PC. You can play it on your phone if you are happy with the form factor. And I personally play it. I'm blown away with how good it is. You know, I went into it thinking this is gonna be, you know, okay, but full graphics, 1080p capabilities, next level will be the next kind of resolution levels, multiple screen setup. Didn't have to buy anything at home for it. Just connects to the cloud service, and I'm sold. You know, I'm never going to buy a console again, I don't think. And there's people that don't like subscription services because you don't own it, but what they're doing is that they're allowing third parties like Steam and the other game providers to run their games in it. And Microsoft have taken the play with the Xbox, where they go, you didn't need to buy these games, this is available as part of the service. And so, and we're not talking, you know, back catalogue stuff, we're talking brand new games, and it's going to be the next wave, I guarantee it.